And I get in that prayer closet, and man, my mind just goes to wondering about all the things that I need to do, all the things about Christmas, this season, the busyness, my job, everything is going on in my mind. And I'm thinking, good night, Lord. I'm here with you. I need this time. I need to focus on you. And he said, just remember the title of your message, Alan. And it's Christmas. It's all about Jesus. Okay, that's the title of the message tonight. Because that's what Christmas is all about. It's not all about all the things that we do and all this preparation and things like that and the things that are going through our mind. Christmas is all about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and so tonight, if you don't want to hear about Jesus, you're going to be very bored. Okay, because we're going to talk all about Jesus. We're going to be looking through scriptures, and the Christmas season is a time for us Christians to celebrate the birth of our amazing Saviors. Amen. Okay, all right, y'all going to have to work with me tonight. All right,
amen.
The impact of what God did through that birth is the most amazing thing that we could ever imagine. Out of love for us, God Himself left heaven, came to earth to rescue us from the penalty and power of sin over us. Come on, we got to have some amens on that, okay? God left heaven and came to earth for you, okay? Man, that's got to be something to get us excited about. Because, you know, we see the lights and the dim, the Christmas, all the song. It's a somber time to remember, but, you know, it's a birthday party too. You know that? You know, Christ was born and came to earth for us. And that should excite us, okay? And so if you don't learn anything tonight on your that you didn't already know, realize that we are the light of the world, and we're supposed to tell others. So if you already know everything, you just tell them what we learned tonight, okay? All right. The reality of the fact that he came from heaven and left heaven and came to earth, is that's why this night is special, right, amen? Because tonight is all about Jesus. It should also motivate us to want to worship our God and share the good news with those who don't know our Savior. Christmas should be all about Jesus. I'm going to say that. Christmas should be all about Jesus. And we're going to talk about Jesus some, but you know, there is no way with a God that big and a Savior that amazing, there's no way that we can cover everything about Him, okay? So we're going to look at some specific areas tonight. So tonight we're going to look at the birth of Jesus. And we will also be introduced to Jesus by one of His closest friends, John. And finally, we'll see Jesus introduce Himself through God's Word. We're going to end tonight, because it's a candlelight deal, we're going to end tonight's service with a candlelight worship time as an example of a way that we can shine the light of Jesus in a dark world. One thing that I'm sure of, that God's not hiding from anyone, okay? God wants to be seen. God wants to be revealed. God wants you to know Him, okay? So He's not hiding from you. I know that because He left heaven and came to earth for you. Okay, God's not hiding from any of us. He wants to be seen. He pursues us even when we run from Him. Amen? Anybody ever run from Jesus and you just didn't get away? You hear? He got you. He got you. That's it, man. I'm telling you. That's right. So tonight, I want to introduce you to my Lord and Savior. Amen? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for these people. God, and I thank you for what you did leaving heaven and come to earth, Lord, and what you did on the cross. Lord, you came to die. Amazing, God. And so that should one encourage us to want to follow you, to learn more about you, to, Lord, submit to you. And so, God, I ask tonight, Lord, that's what we do. I do that right now, Lord. This message, if this is not your message, Lord, change it. God, I ask, God, that you would just show these people tonight that you love them, Lord, that you are the way, you're the truth, you're the light. Lord, I thank you for tonight. And again, Lord, thank you for this season. And, Lord, I pray for anybody here tonight that does not know you. Lord, I pray that if it's revealed to them that they do not know you, Lord, they would not resist your Holy Spirit, God, that they would not resist your wooing on their hearts, Lord. I pray, God, that you would draw people to yourself tonight. Amen. And so we're going to start with the birth of Jesus. We're going to be in Matthew 1. Okay, I'll give you all time to turn there. If you're in where our regular series is, just go over a few books. We're in 6. Matthew 1. Starting in verse 18, it's the birth of Jesus. And so this is a story. It's going to be a story that's probably a familiar story for all of us. And so what I've learned in Bible study, when you read familiar stories, you need to read them slower because there's some stuff that we can glean out of there. Because the purpose of these stories and the purpose of this scripture is for us to bring us closer to Jesus Christ, okay? So these aren't just written for us to just read over as information, okay? The stories are for us, all right? And so we're going to read this story and we're going to learn some things about our Savior through this story. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. That's a story, a familiar story. There's a lot of stuff in there. You know, there's a lot of stuff about our God and how he works. Because I'm going to tell you, just like we're doing things a little bit different here tonight, God does things different. All right. God does things different than the way you think, than the way I think. God's got his ways. They're higher than our ways. And we might as well just get used to it. Because God shows up and does some crazy things. Look what he did here. He said, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That's just not normal, right? Okay? And just imagine yourself in this story as Mary, okay? For her to even go out and say to somebody that she got pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she had to have an encounter with God. Sane people don't do that. You know, you don't make up those kind of stories, you know. And so we see Mary submitting to what God had in her life, okay? And it says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace and had in mind to divorce her quietly. We see Mary, she comes to Joseph and said, I'm pregnant. And Joseph, of course, I mean, can you imagine yourself as Joseph? Can you imagine yourself as Joseph thinking, okay, what does this mean? And we see what Joseph did. He said he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, and he had in mind to divorce her quietly. See, Joseph made the decision in his mind that made the most sense, okay? Because Joseph, he was an honorable man, okay? He was a righteous man. So the decision that he made was honorable, and it was logical because in that culture, you just didn't marry somebody if they were pregnant, okay? A little different now, all right? But back then, you just didn't do that, okay? And so it's a logical decision, and it is a compassionate decision too, because in that culture, they were to be stoned if they were found pregnant between the proposal time before they got married, okay? And so really, it would have been all of Joseph's power, authority to file charges against her and have her stoned, okay? But Joseph didn't choose to do that, all right? So Joseph was a righteous man, and he made a normal, logical decision that made sense. Much what many of us may do, okay? But let's look at this. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said in a dream, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He'd heard that before, right? He heard that from Mary, that had been conceived from the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph had a logical decision that made sense from anybody's perspective. A righteous man, anybody would agree with him, but God says no. God says, I have a way. God says, I have a way that don't make sense. God says, I have a way that's going to make you maybe look like a fool. I have a way that's going to actually probably cause you some pain from your community. But I'm going to tell you what, I really do need you to do this my way. Okay? I have a way. God came to Joseph. And it says, and he told her, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Man, we want our kids to be quarterbacks, huh? And we want our kids to be ball players. Man, his son is going to save the world from their sins, okay? I mean, that's hard to fathom right after he told you to marry a pregnant woman, all right? And so that's hard to fathom, but I'm going to tell you, Joseph submitted to what God had him to do, okay? Because he said, and this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Man, this personal little detail, in these very, very common people, God was using to fulfill prophecy that was prophesied hundreds of years before, okay? God was going right through the middle of these people's lives and fulfilling prophecy. Amazing, huh, that God would do that. And then when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. See, this ain't no normal God we're talking about, okay? This ain't no normal baby. This God that we're talking about, he can do some amazing things. And I want you to know, anything that's going on in your life, he can take care of it, okay? And we're going to see that a little bit later. But God works through people's lives. I mean, we serve a God that can't be figured out, right? Do you want to figure God out? Man, praise the Lord. I do not want to figure God out because every time I figure something out, it's messed up. All right? Every time. Just about every time. All right? So God came to two ordinary people and asked them to believe and do some unbelievable things in order to further his plan. And you think, you know, what does that mean to me today? I'm going to tell you what. God can do similar things through us. Okay? You say, man, what could God do through me? I'm going to tell you right now, follow Jesus and see. Okay? Because what he's going to ask a lot of us to do is not going to make sense. It's going to require faith, okay? That's what this Christmas story is all about. He came down heaven and came from heaven to earth so that we may have life abundantly. And we're going to see that a little bit later as well, okay? Not only did he come into this world abnormally in his conception, in Luke 2:12, the Savior of the world was born in a stable. He was born in a manger, a feed trough, okay? I mean, if I had to figure it out, I'm going to tell you, God, I ain't real sure about that one. You know, you got the King of the Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're going to stick him in a barn and put him in a feed trough. It just doesn't make sense, does it? But see, God don't care what we think about him making sense. God had a plan, okay? God had a plan that included some other people that we're going to look at here in just a little bit. God had a plan, and God has a plan for you as well, okay? And we'll see part of his plan, because the first people he revealed himself to was who? Y'all know? The shepherds. Okay? Turn over to Luke 2, 8 through 20. Anybody know anything about shepherds? Shepherds are, I would say they were like, they're not all that social, right? They're out there on their own, and they're kind of dirty, you know. And if you looked at them from the scale on the in society, they kind of down there, you know. I'd say they're down there around down that near taxidermist, stuff like that, you know. They're down there kind of low, man. I mean, because that butch used to call me unclean, you know, because what I did. But I also snapped right back and I said, don't call unclean what the Lord has made clean, amen. God can clean up anybody, all right. And okay, that's something else. I'm sorry. Okay. So we're going to look at the shepherds. Okay, let's look at this. Because these guys, man, I identify with these guys. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. And that's kind of important too, the nearby, because we're going to look at something here in a little bit. Keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. An angel of the Lord came to some lowly shepherds. Amen, huh? Any lowly shepherds out there need God show up? All right. Hey, he's coming. He'll come if you let him, that's for sure. Okay? And it said, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. He didn't send an angel. The glory of the Lord came with them. I mean, to shepherds, to people from North Zutz. You know, that's my... I get to say that because my mom's here tonight. She lives in North Zutz, you know. I mean, it's about the same, right? Okay. Amen. Anybody else from North Zutz? I'm sorry. That was my mom. Oh, man. The angel of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born to you. We got a personal God. A Savior was born to those guys. We got a personal God right here, okay? A Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And, man, I look at that. I mean, we got a great praise team. I've heard the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. But I'm going to tell you what, there probably wasn't a choir one that measured up to what these shepherds got to see, you know? They got to praise God, man. I mean, the heavenly host, they were having a worship service with these shepherds, okay? Wow, huh? God, that's the kind of God I'm talking about, all right? There ain't nobody too low for God. So, and when they seen him, they spread, so they hurried off. Wait a minute, I'm on wrong verse. Okay. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. See, they saw this child and they began witnessing right off the bat, you know. Once they saw this, this is what God was talking about. I've seen it with my own eyes, and now I'm going to tell everybody I know, okay? And that's exactly what the Christian life is about. But we don't do that, okay? We see some amazing thing. God changes our life, and we just zip it up. We just zip it up. We don't tell nobody because I guess we think it's something just going to waste on us, all right? But no, we are to be the light of the world. We're supposed to share what God does in our lives, okay? So they told everybody, they're the first missionaries, man. Those guys were tearing it up. All right. And all those who heard amazed at the shepherds, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard him say, which were just as they had been told. See, I mean, that ought to be, church, I'm telling you right now, the knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ ought to make us the most happy people in the world, okay? We ought to be able to praise God in almost any situation because of the things that God has done for us, okay? So, church, it's time for us to look like these shepherds, okay? They were praising God because they saw the baby, all right? All right? We've seen even more than the baby. We're going to talk about that a little bit as well. So let's go back. So he showed himself to the shepherds, all right? And he also revealed himself to who? The Magi, okay? You got shepherds here, very, very low, Magi's. It's pretty two extremes, actually. You know, you got the Magi's were the astrologers. They were the ones looking at the stars and stuff. They were the smart people, like some of y'all out there, you know? They were the smart, wise people. I'm the shepherd. We got some Magi's out there. I know y'all out there. But I'm going to tell you what, the thing about these Magi's and the thing that we can learn about God in this story, okay? He came to the shepherds on their level, all right? He also came to the Magi in a way that they would receive him and expect him. Because they're astrologers, you know, he came to the Magi's through a star. See, God will do what it takes to come to you, to where you, because God's not hiding from you. I don't care if you're a shepherd or a Magi, okay? I don't care what you are, there ain't no two extreme. God is coming for you, okay? He does not want to be, he's not hiding from you, okay? And another thing about the Magi, they were thousands of miles away, where the shepherds were nearby. See, that's, man, I'm going to tell you, y'all didn't get that. See, that God comes, we are supposed to, God don't care about exactly, he cares about what goes on here at Bryan College Station. But I'm going to tell you what, it's amazing to have my brother from Czech Republic here tonight, so we get to see both extremes, because they're going back to the Czech Republic. God cares about what they're doing too, okay? He's trying to draw people from every ends of the earth, okay? That's the God I'm talking about. That's the God who left heaven and came here, not just for us. It's our Father in heaven. It's not just my Father, okay? And so I have to understand that. And so God came to the Magi, thousands of miles away. And so that's the kind of God I'm talking about. And he is a big God. See, God's purposes and plans are played out in and through individual lives. My question to you is, on this Christmas time and the rest of your life as a Christian, are you going to let God do that through your life? Because really, church, if all we do is come in here and have a Christmas service and get all fuzzy about it, the silent night and remember the birth, and we don't walk out of here and be the light of Jesus, we have wasted our time, okay? And so Christmas ought to be about that, okay? Ought to be us showing the love of Jesus to other folks, okay? Because God cares for everyone. And our response should be overwhelming worship. Okay? So I know there's some things probably going on in lives here. I mean, I know economy's bad. I know Christmas puts the pressure on you to buy things that you really can't afford to impress people. But I'm going to tell you what. Christmas should be a time of overwhelming worship. Okay? Forget all that worldly stuff and just worship your King. Just like I did in that closet. Forget the stuff going through my mind and focus on Jesus, okay? Just do that. I just promise you. Anytime you get to doubting yourself, you just say, nah, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, okay? Keep your eyes on Jesus. So who is this Jesus? Before we know who he is, I'm telling you one thing. He's not. He's not some weak minor deity seated somewhere with all the other gods. My God is powerful, okay? My God can do anything. He's not seated with all them other dead gods, okay? My God is alive, all right? Okay. He is not one more religious teacher who was revered by his followers, but was no different than all the religious leaders in the world. See, I don't care what nobody says. Jesus wasn't just a good prophet. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the Son of God. We're going to find out in a little bit. He was God, and he is God, and he came as the Savior, and he's the only way back to God, okay? I'm getting ahead of myself. But you already knew that, right? But Jesus is the Lord God. Just like, he is God, who came to earth to rescue human beings from eternal penalty of sin, and who is exalted in heaven. See, God was pleased with Jesus. Let's look up, I've got Colossians 1, 15 through 20. If y'all put that up there. This is the God I'm talking about. This is who Jesus is. Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God, okay? Jesus came to earth, walked this earth so we could get to see what God really looks like, okay? He's the image of the invisible God. So if you want to know some of the attributes, the heart and the mind of God, look at Christ, because the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't do anything that he didn't see the Father doing, you know? And so the Father always led Jesus. So if you want to know what God looked like, if you want to get this picture of God, look at Jesus, okay? He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. So he was there in the beginning. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Okay? It's all about Jesus, okay? All about Jesus. He is before all things. He was there in the beginning, and in him all things hold together. I'm going to tell you, your life ain't going to hold together without Jesus. I mean, you might keep it good for a while. I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to hold together without Jesus, okay? He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. He's the only one of them gods ever raised from the dead. All them other gods everybody's worshiping are dead, okay? Our God is alive. He's risen, and that's what gives us the power to live this Christian life, okay? So that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. See, God said, that's a vessel I'm going to use. I'm going to put all myself in him. Man, it's amazing. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things of the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so who is this Jesus? He's a creator. He's always been there. He holds everything together. Amen? Can anybody testify to that? He holds everything together. He's alive. And he died for you, okay? He died for you. And he died for them. He died for the people he died for the people who are running from him tonight, you know? But it's our job, just like Jesus is the image of the invisible God, it's our job to be the image of the invisible Jesus, because he's gone. We got to be that person, okay? And that, we got to show Christ, okay? So that's an amazing God. Amen. We got to get some amens on that. Amen. Amen. And so we've seen, I mean, we've got this picture in Scripture of this amazing God, okay? But let's look at another perspective from him, from his best friend, John. Okay? John was a disciple that Jesus loved. And one of the things about, as we read about John's main goal in the whole book of John was written to convince people that Jesus was God. See, he didn't just want people to know about Jesus. He wanted them to know that Jesus was God. And John was Jesus' closest friend. Jesus had transformed John's life, and John wanted to pass that transforming message to anyone who would listen. Any transformed lives in here? Any at all? Okay. Man, we need to be like John. You know, we need to be like John. We need to want everyone to have that transforming message. And here's what John said, and we see in John, we're gonna stay in John for a little bit, because when we get to Jesus, the declaration of himself, it's through the book of John, because John wants us to know about Jesus. So if you're ever really just wondering about Jesus, just read John, okay? That's a good family devotions. I'll give y'all all permission to not read not one other verse that I even talk about. Y'all read the book of John, okay? You start teaching your family about John. You start teaching your people about Jesus. I'm gonna tell you, everything else is secondary. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and that's depicting Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, John wants us to know that this baby in the manger that came down from earth was there when the world was created. He was with God, and he was God. I know that's hard to figure out, but I'm going to tell you, by faith, you've got to believe that. He was God, okay? He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. So you can't have true life without Jesus. And that life was the light of men. And just like I said, the life that Jesus lived here was the light of men. It's a life that was lived to show us the way that we should live, okay? The kind of life that we should live. You know the WWJD that was so popular? What would Jesus do? I'm going to tell you what, that's a great deal, but it don't need to be just a slogan. You know, we really need to consider those kind of things. Walk like Jesus walked. And it says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. John 1:14, this is something else that John wants us to know about Jesus. That the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, that's the Christmas story right there. That the Word, God, became flesh, came down so we could say, you know what, I don't know about this God, but there was a man who walked this earth that was tempted in every way but did not sin. There was a man, you know, that did this and to give us the confidence to show us that we can, okay? And so as our example, there was a man came. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John wants us to know something else about Jesus. Jesus is full of grace and truth. You know what? We have a loving God that looks over some of your sins sometimes because if he didn't, I'd be struck down regularly, okay? The grace of God is some amazing stuff that I can't explain to you, but I can tell you one thing. The grace of God is stuff. Is the only way you're ever going to make it through this Christian life. Because you can't do anything on your own. It takes the grace of God. The fact that that you don't go to hell is the grace of God, okay? But it also tells us that same grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, okay? The same grace, the fact that God did that for you has to impact your life, okay? Full of grace and truth. See, God's patient, but he does expect obedience. Because he says in a minute, he says, I am the truth. See, John wants us to know about Jesus, that Jesus is God. And that he loves you, okay? John wants to know that Jesus loves you, and he wants to transform your life. That's what John wants us to know about Jesus. So let's look at in the book of John, let's look at Jesus. Let's look at some things that Jesus says about himself. Like I said, there's so many things that we can go back to, but we're gonna stick to in the book of John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen, huh? Amen. No one comes to the Father except through me. And see, in the context of this, right before that, he was telling them, do not let your hearts be troubled. They had been going through this. Jesus was predicting his death, his betrayal, and all these things. And the disciples were getting, I guess, not very comforting because he's going to leave them. And he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You know, because in my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. Okay, I'm coming back, and that's what he was telling him. And it's in that context, right after that, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that was meant to comfort them. And so as we look at these, I am the way. How can us knowing that Jesus is the way comfort us today? Okay, he is the way. He's the direction or the course. I'm going to tell you one of the things, when I began to give my life to the Lord, one of the most freeing things that happened to me is when I got to let go of the wheel. Amen? Amen. Some of y'all drivers, you know, I mean, I know people, they won't drive with me for nothing. They get in, you know, if I'm driving, I'm paying the gas or whatever, you know, but they don't want to drive. Nobody wants the responsibility. Nobody wants to drive. Nobody wants to be in the driver's seat. But I'm going to tell you, we do as people. We want to be in the driver's seat. But see, Jesus says, I am the way. He didn't say, I'll show you the way. He said, I am the way, okay? I am the way. And in contrast to that, in Proverbs 16:25, there's a verse that goes directly against that. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death, okay? So there's things that you do. You make decisions. There's things in your life. There's a way that seems right to you, but if you continue in that way, it's going to lead to death, okay? And that's just the nature of deception. See, when you think you got it all figured out, and Jesus' word says this, and you say, no, I'm going to do my way, I'm going to tell you what, you're deceived. And the thing about deception, you say, I ain't deceived. There ain't a deceived person in the world ever thought they was deceived. Amen. You know? Because you've been tricked. You know, you've been tricked. And until the scales come off your eye, that you realize that you've even been deceived. Okay? So you can be deceived. That's why you need me. That's why you need the body of Christ. That's why you need God's word. There's a lot of reasons. We need each other, okay? I am the way. And it says, no man comes to the Father except through me. See, we're not talking about, we're talking about a loving God here. We're not talking about a God that's trying to beat you into submission, okay? He said, I am the only way you're going to get to heaven, okay? He also says in Acts 4:12, says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men for which you must be saved. So I'm going to tell you what, if you're trying to get to Jesus, if you're trying to get to God without Jesus, you're not doing it. There's no way. And all you have to do, I'm going to tell you, tonight, I just knew at this point, we have got to, even though I expect that people know the gospel, the truth of the gospel is that you have to admit that you've blown it. You've got to admit that you're a sinner and needed a Savior. And I mean, if you've ever stole anything, if you've ever done anything wrong, lied, cheated, what, and every one of us, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? Amen. So if you've ever done that, you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Okay? If you admit that, and you believe all these things I'm talking about already, about God, that He left heaven, came to earth, died on the cross for your sins, and His blood paid the penalty for your sins. His blood paid the penalty for your sins. His blood paid the penalty for your sins. Can I say that again? I want to say that again because there's power in the blood of Jesus, okay? Amen. The blood did that. If you believe that, if you confess that with your mouth, the Bible says that you're saved, okay? But when you truly believe that, I'm going to tell you what, you repent, you turn, you make an about face in your life. You don't do the same things that you used to do, okay? But you don't do it in your own power either. You do it in the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God, okay? And if that's you here tonight and you've never done that, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to make no fanfare here. You can do that sitting in your pew right now. You can accept Jesus into your heart. And I pray tonight, if you're going to give somebody a gift, you give your life over to God. You'll be a gift to everybody, okay? Praise God, I'm the way. And for there's no one, there is one God, 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, and that man is Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, He's the way to get to heaven. But in Psalm 25:12, we say, who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. See, Jesus being the way also is a way of Him directing your life. See, there's a way. God's already chosen a way. He's got a plan and purpose for every one of us, okay? And there's a way that He has for each one of us, chosen for us already. He's got good works prepared for each one of us. He's got it prepared in advance for us to do, okay? He's the way. It says the truth. John 14:15-18. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. See, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. And see, truth is a person. Truth. When He says, I'm going to give you truth, He's not just going to give you some concept, He's going to give you Himself. Okay, He's going to come and live in you to where you can know the false lies. Okay, the Spirit's going to intercede for you even when you don't know how to pray. Okay, He is the truth, the Spirit of truth. In John 8:31-32, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, Jesus, and the truth will set you free. Has anybody ever been set free from some stuff because of the truth in your heart? Okay, all right. And he'll set you free from things like pressure. I can't look at her on these next two. Worry. Doubt. He'll set you free on those. But you know what? In my case, it's a day-by-day thing. And I hate it. I hate it because I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me not to doubt. I have the power in the Holy Spirit for me not to worry. But I worry and I doubt. And I imagine you do too. Okay? And worrying about worry. What am I going to worry about? That's right. You're right, Barney. But I hate it. I hate the fact that He is the truth, and I just have to ask Him, and He will clear up those doubts. Okay? But one thing I don't have, and this is another thing that the truth will set you free from, is condemnation. Okay? One thing I know is I'm going to heaven because I've received Jesus as my personal and Savior. And you can know that too. And if you're ever doubting that, I'm going to tell you what, there's a problem. Because the Word says you should know, you need to know that you know Jesus, okay? And the Spirit should testify to that, okay? Don't let the devil fool you. And if you doubt, give your life to Jesus tonight, and we'll just be rejoicing like with the shepherds. We'll get that choir back over here. Man, it'll be good, all right? All the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner turns, right? Man, praise God. And you won't know the truth of any situation at all until you hear from Jesus. Right. You know, because a lot of us, man, we make up things to worry about, just like Barney said. You know, we create scenarios that the things are going to happen wrong, okay? And we've already decided what God's going to do before we even ask Him, before we even pray to Him. Okay, we get to worry and things like that. But here's the thing. There's a story in the Bible, I learned it from experiencing God, that the disciples are in the boat. The storm comes up, all right? Storm is going to overtake the boat. Water coming all over the side. And Henry said, what do you think those disciples thought about the situation, or what do you think that the truth of that situation was? The truth of that situation was they were fixing to drown. That boat's going to be capsized. The truth of that situation was they were going to die. All right? But Henry Blackaby, an experiencing God, says, but they didn't know the truth of the situation because truth was in the back of the boat asleep. All right? And when truth stood up, circumstances changed. Okay? So you don't know what's going to go on in your life until Jesus shows up. Okay? So you might as well invite him to the party. Okay? The pity party, whatever party you throw in, okay? Whatever kind of little party you got going on, you might as well invite him to it because he is the one who's going to shed the light that you need to know. Okay? All right? Praise God, huh? All right. And he is the life. Is there anybody in here that will testify by clapping, standing, yay, amen, or whatever, tell me that you've tried it this way and now you have Jesus and this is the life? Huh? Amen. Right? Right? Man, we got some work to do tonight. There ain't enough clapping. I'm going to tell you that we got some work to do tonight because I'm going to tell you what, if you don't believe it, it's true. Jesus is the life. And life comes to light through the gospel. So you don't have true life until you've received the gospel. You don't have that peace, okay? And I'm going to tell you, the life that I have through this is just amazing because the relationships that I get to build through this life in Jesus Christ. I mean, I get to know people that would have nothing to do with me if it wasn't for Jesus. Praise God. I got brothers, okay? I get peace. I get peace knowing. I mean, that's a peace that passes all understanding because I have Jesus. And that's life, okay? All right? And I get provisions because his word tells me that he's going to take care of me. He's going to give me my needs and things like that. It may be some manna daily, whatever. He's going to do it, though, you know? I get provisions because... And I get power to do the things that I can't do. Living example right here. I get power to do things that I can't do. I can stand up and talk about a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you what, anything good in me is from the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? I promise you. And see, in John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I don't know why we just fall for the schemes of the devil so many times when we know that Jesus came to give us life and have it to the full. Okay? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And one other thing we're going to look at that Jesus talked about, and it gets to the candles and the reason that we're doing the candle. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is light. We follow him, we get the light. See, he also said in Matthew that you are the light of the world as well, okay? And that's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the same one that was there from the beginning, the one that made the earth, the one that made this world, declaring that I am the light of the world. So for me to reject that would be heresy, okay? I am the light of the world. I am supposed to shine Jesus, okay? I am the light of the world. And this light is the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to come up with things to do. The light, Jesus shows us light. And some things that I know about light, and there's so many things you can learn about light. I got three of them here. Light illuminates. You know, light illuminates things. It gives you a different perspective. I'm glad we got lights on in here. And in a minute, we're going to turn these lights off, and we're going to get to see the impact of just even one light, okay, that it'll have. And then as we go through with this candlelight service, we're going to get to see the impact that if I share my light with somebody else and what that can do, okay, because we are the light of the world. And it's so important because in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. See, the devil's got unbelievers thinking they don't need Jesus. You know, they don't need the church. The church is messed up, full of a bunch of hypocrites. See, the devil's got that messed up, okay? So they cannot see the light of the gospel. The gospel don't mean anything to unbelievers because it's even, the Bible says it's even foolishness to those, you know, who are perishing. But we're not only supposed to tell people about the gospel, we're supposed to live it in front of them, okay? We're supposed to be the gospel. We're supposed to be the kind of people that God has called us to be. Of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, just like we get to see God through Jesus, others get to see and know Jesus through us. Okay? Man, we need to do that. Light illuminates. Light also reveals danger. Okay? There's times that the light that we have in us, we see things in other people's life. We need to shine some light on the dangerous things that people are doing in life that are going to hurt them. Okay? Light reveals dangers. But one thing I love about light, it always defeats darkness. Amen? Always. Always. You down, blue, dark, turn on the light of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, it gets better. Okay? You get to see some things that you wouldn't see before. So Christmas is all about Jesus and God's love. Y'all turn over to a familiar verse, John 3, starting at John 3:16. I'm going to read that. We're going to pray. We're going to have the praise team come back up. We're going to sing a song, and it's going to be the words on the song. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to come up, and we're going to worship God in this candlelight service. And so before I read that, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping for people so nobody gets tore up and burned up by a bunch of wax and fire, okay? We got wax, hot wax and fire. All right, that's not a good... both of them hurt, okay? So you ladies with a bunch of hairspray in your hair and stuff like that, keep it away from you, okay? All right? Men, whatever, yeah. Okay, here's what we're going to do, all right? Because when I get through, I'm going to pray. The praise team is going to come up, and y'all are going to need to remember these instructions, okay? I'm going to receive the light. I'm going to hold it. Those who receive the light, I'm going to hold it. And the ones receiving the light need to come to me, okay? So if I do like this, you're going to get burnt, okay? So once your candle is lit, keep it upright, okay, kids? Anybody that's going to have a light? And we want to keep the wax off the pews if possible, okay? I mean, if the Holy Spirit just gets all over you and you got to jump a little bit and a little wax gets on there, we're all right, okay? All right? We're okay. All right. I want to read this, okay? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what is done has been done through God. Okay? Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. We also read in Ecclesiastes 3:11, speaking of God, said, he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. See, some people love darkness, you know. They live in darkness, and darkness is where they're more comfortable. But God has set eternity in the hearts of people, okay? There's something inside of every one of us. I don't care how far away you are or how far in the dark you are. There's something in your heart that tugs you towards the light, kind of like a bug, you know. You turn on the light, you're going to be drawn to the light. There's something in us, like a bug, makes us drawn to the light, okay? And that something is God, okay? And he's not going to force his way in, but I'm going to tell you what, he wants in. And all you got to do is let him in, he'll fill that hole. But God set eternity in the people's hearts, okay? So let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight, God. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that the things that I speak of, Lord, are not my opinion. God, they're rooted in your word. And Lord, your word is sharper than any double-edged sword. Lord, we know it cuts, and we know, God, we know that it's only you that's going to make a change in anybody's life. And so, Lord, I ask that if there's anybody here, Lord, as we show the impact of what light can be, Lord, I pray, God, that if there's anybody here that needs to give their life to you tonight, Lord, they'll do that before they leave here tonight. They'll find somebody and rejoice with them. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for leaving heaven and coming. Amen. And what we're going to do, we're going to sing the song.